بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, علماء الكرام, dear brothers in Islam, all praise and thanks is due to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, who has allowed us to reach the halfway point of the blessed and Mubarak month of Ramadan. What we understand is the peak, the pinnacle, the climax of the Islamic calendar. From the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ لَنَفَحَاتٍ. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has kept within the Islamic calendar certain special moments and occasions in which the winds of Allah's mercy blow very strongly upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The highlight of these moments is the month of Ramadan. Ulama say there can be no higher profile season than the season we are currently going through. Allah has allowed us to reach the halfway point. Up until this point, ulama say, naf'alu wa nastaghfiru. We continue to make an effort, we continue to ask Allah's forgiveness for our shortcomings, for our weaknesses, for whatever we had fallen short in up till this point in the month of Ramadan. But now for us to put our shoulder to the wheel and to make an effort to increase so that we can draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama say right now, in the skies, the doors of mercy, the doors of forgiveness, the doors of barakat, the doors of blessings, of good health, of halal and pure sustenance, of bounties, of blessings, these doors are wide open right now. For every single person in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the national treasury of Allah is open. That now come and take as much as you want. Allah is prepared to give us. Are we prepared to put ourselves forward? We have just over half the month of Ramadan left. How can I secure my forgiveness? How can I secure the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how can I secure my freedom from the fire of Jahannam? In the famous hadith of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam divided this Mubarak month into three distinct portions. The first 10 days have already passed, the days of rahmat and mercy. And right now we are going through those 10 days of maghfirat, of forgiveness, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to press the delete button and to reset our accounts and our books in His court. As though it is a period of amnesty right now. Whatever you have done in your life leading up to this moment, you have broken my commands, you have fallen short, you transgressed, you were disobedient. Now come into my court, put in your application, I am prepared to accept that application. I am prepared to wipe out everything and give you a clean slate. For us to understand, my dear brothers, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waits for a person to make tawbah, to ask His forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained how happy Allah becomes when a person seeks forgiveness, when a person makes tawbah. He says, there is a person traveling through the desert in midsummer months. The sun is blazing down on him. It is very hot. He is all alone, just him and his conveyance. And he has all of his belongings and possessions on that conveyance. And as he is traveling through the desert, he becomes tired. So he dismounts the conveyance and he takes rest against the bark of a tree. And his eyes close and he falls off to sleep. And when this person then opens his eyes, he wakes up. In his shock, he realizes his conveyance is nowhere to be seen. That camel has wandered off. He looks to the right, he looks to the left. Frantically he searches for it. His belongings are there, his provisions are there, his food and drink is there. But he cannot find this conveyance of his. And he then leans back onto that tree And he resigns himself to his fate, that it will be a matter of time before I pass away, I die of hunger and of thirst. And while this person is sitting there, the reels of his life are playing through his mind. He thinks of his family that he has left behind at home. He thinks of the missed opportunities in his life. He thinks of the future that he had ahead of him, of all his goals, his aspirations, his desires. And he knows he will not see nightfall. And then, as he looks into the distance, amazingly he sees, as though out of thin air, that conveyance, that camel is now walking in his direction. And as it comes closer, he finds all his belongings are there. His provisions are there, his water, his drink. And he wakes up and rushes to it, and he grabs hold of this conveyance. And now he has a new lease on life. Where he thought his life will end by nightfall. Now he has everything in front of him. He has the means to reach his destination. We can imagine how happy, how joyous this person will feel. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, because of his ecstasy and joy that is flowing through him right now, in his excitement he utters a statement. And trying to praise Allah, he says, "Oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord." He makes a mistake. He's supposed to say, "Oh Allah, I am your slave, you are my Rabb." But he makes an error because of his joy, his excitement. He says, "Oh Allah, I am your Lord and you are my slave." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, for a person to make such an error, we can imagine the level of joy and excitement going through him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, "Lallahu afrahu bi tawbati abdihi." Even more joyous, even more so to say excited and happy than this person is Allah Rabbul Izzah when his slave turns to him in tawbah. Allah becomes even more excited, even more happy, more joyous. My slave has turned to me. He has acknowledged his faults before me. And now he is asking for my forgiveness. Allah instructs the angels, tell him I have forgiven him. These are the days of maghfirat, the days of forgiveness. As I mentioned, for us to put our hand forward, Allah has already stretched his hand out to us. Now take advantage of that opportunity. We see an advertisement. There is some store that is selling an item on special. The deal is never to be repeated. Only 5 units or 10 units per customer. Nobody will say that I'll just take 1 or 2 and I'll leave the rest. In fact, if those deals are never to be repeated, I will go to one queue. I'll take my 10 units. The wife will be in the next queue. The son and daughter in the next queue. We'll maximize. These deals are never to be repeated. What a bargain right now. Ulama say right now this is the bargain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of Ramadan. These deals are never to be repeated. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says every fard action, minimum times 70 reward. And every nafil action a person will do, 2 rakats of salah, then the reward will be as though he performed a fard action. To understand this, my dear brothers, ulama say that person who wakes up for tahajjud salah throughout the 11 months of the year, winter, summer, when he's tired, despite the weather, despite his own weaknesses, his laziness, but he makes an effort. He wakes up in the early hours of the morning. He makes wudu, sometimes in cold weather, and he reads tahajjud salah. Throughout the entire year, that tahajjud cannot equate to one fard action. One fard in the court of Allah is more valuable. Allah is saying, in this month, every nafil, I'm giving you the reward of fard. No tahajjud can equate to this. No amount of charity can equate to this. Every action will be rewarded to the highest degree by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, describing the reward for the fast that a person keeps. Generally, in the month of Ramadan, we anticipate reward for our tilawat of Quran. Person makes an effort. Even the person who can't read Quran Sharif, but he sits, he tries to articulate the words, he listens to some recording, he stands in the Taraweeh Salah, he makes an effort. He knows I will be rewarded. For my Taraweeh, I will be rewarded. But generally, we overlook the reward of the fast itself. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, kullu amal ibn Adam yudha'af. Every action of the slave of the sons of Adam will be doubled and multiplied for him. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes on to explain, some deeds he will, sometimes 700. Some, there is no limit to the multiplication of the reward. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, illa as-sawm, except for the fast. Every other action I will double it for him, I will multiply it for him, except for his fast. فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Because fasting is done solely and exclusively for me. Leave multiplying, leave doubling, leave times 10 or times 700. Allah says, I will take care personally of the reward. In this world, a person goes to a prominent businessman, somebody who has wealth, who has power, who has contacts. I've got some trouble in my life. I've got some difficulty in front of me, some problem that needs solving. And I go to him with hope and anticipation that he'll give me a solution. Perhaps he'll offer me a loan, or he'll call on some contact of his. And I present my problem before him. And he says, don't worry about it. I will take care of it. You don't even stress. Leave the loan. Leave the call to my contact. You go and rest. I will take care of it. How much of itminan will have? How much of contentment I'll have? This prominent person will take care of my problem for me. I have no more worries left. No more sleepless nights. Allah says that fast that you will keep, I will take care of the reward. I will give you the reward. And then Allah says to the angels in amazement, this person, عَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ لِأَجْلِي. He left his food and drink for me. Nobody could see him. In the month of Ramadan, if a person misses his salah, perhaps some musalli will ask, where were you at the time of Fajr? I didn't see you Taraweeh time. I didn't see you at the time of Maghrib. If he is not reading Quran Sharif, somebody may question him. But if he breaks his fast in privacy, nobody knows about it. If he sits in his car and has a sip of water, nobody knows about it. But how that consciousness comes into a person? Allah tells the angels, he leaves his food and drink for me. He's doing it for my sake. Ulama say this in itself is sufficient proof and evidence for every one of us that I have within me the capacity to do what pleases Allah. I have it within me. Throughout the 11 months of the year, especially when it comes to our youth, who always say the challenges are so great, it's like a mountain is coming crashing down on me. I just cannot withhold the temptation when those desires flow through me, and the desire to break the command of Allah, to engage in some illicit relationship, to take some intoxicant, for the businessman to get engaged in some incorrect transaction, to miss my salah, to abuse my gaze. I just cannot withstand it. The temptation comes and completely floors me. The month of Ramadan is sufficient evidence. Without extra effort, how a person develops within himself the capacity to please Allah. Ulama give the example of that person who's sitting at the dasturkhan. 5 minutes left for the adhan of Maghrib. The savories are in front of him. The milkshake is in front of him. It's a hot day, the cool water is in front of him. And somebody says to him, just 5 minutes left, why don't you break your fast now? Then no matter what the level of that person's iman may be, no matter how far away he normally is from the masjid, how far away he is from Allah, but he also will say, how dare I break my fast if the adhan has not gone? I will have to wait 5 minutes. That is the boundary of Allah that he has laid down for me. Ulama say, in the very same way, every command of Allah, I have the capacity to wait, not to transgress, not to cross that limit. The month of Ramadan is a training ground for me. Allah has given us these days, my dear brothers, for us to make those deals with him, to secure his maghfirah, to secure his forgiveness. As we mentioned, how joyous Allah becomes when a person turns to him, shows that initiative. And then ulama explain, unlike in this world, if I ask forgiveness from a person, he may forgive me on the first occasion, and then I did him down a second time, And I went to him and asked for forgiveness. He may still choose to forgive me. And the third time, and the fourth time, eventually he may say, I forgive you, but keep your distance. I cannot get involved in any transactions with you, any dealings with you. I've learned my lesson. You did me down on this occasion, on that occasion. He won't forget the loss I caused to him, the harm I caused to him. He may still forgive me, but he will never forget. But what is the forgiveness of Allah? How is Allah prepared to forgive? The incident of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned. He is amongst his people, the Bani Israel. And they are going through a period of severe drought. Rain hasn't fallen for months on end. The crops are suffering. The animals are suffering. The people are suffering. The infrastructure is suffering. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam gathers the Bani Israel. The young, the old, the women, the children. And he takes them to the outskirts of the town. And raise his hands and ask Allah for rainfall. What we generally term as Salatul Istisqa, which is found in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, when there is a prolonged period of drought, to show our humility before Allah, that we will now perform Salah and make dua to Allah. So he gathers the Bani Israel, he raises his hands, oh Allah, we have gone through a prolonged drought. Everybody is suffering. The animal, please send down rain for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response comes, O Musa, in your gathering there is one person who has disobeyed me for a period of 40 years. Every command of mine he has broken. Every boundary he has trespassed. Every limit he has broken. If he does not remove himself from this gathering, I will not send down my rain. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam stands up and makes the announcement that in this gathering there is somebody who has disobeyed Allah for 40 years. It is on account of his presence that the rain is being withheld. We can imagine that particular individual. What must have been going through his mind? Like how there's a program in the masjid. Masjid is packed to capacity. And the MC announces the number plate, certain vehicle is blocking the driveway. How embarrassed that person feels to stand up. The whole congregation will look at me. The Imam Sahib already made the announcement before the program. Still I didn't move my vehicle. He feels embarrassed, he feels ashamed. We can imagine this person, how ashamed he must have been feeling. On account of my sins, my entire town is being deprived. The hadith mentions, at that point he turns to Allah from his heart. And he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, if I have to wake up now, I will be embarrassed and disgraced. My faults and flaws will come to the fore. And everybody will know it is on account of me that they have been deprived of rainfall. I will have no future left in this town. My name will be dragged through the mud. But Allah, if I do not wake up from here, if I remain seated in this gathering, how will I witness my people suffering? How will I live with myself knowing that they are being deprived on account of my sins? Oh Allah, I am turning to you in tawbah. I am asking you sincerely to forgive me. No sooner does he say this, and the skies open. The rain begins to fall. There is a downpour. The earth is quenched, the animals are quenched, the people fill their utensils and containers. There is a new lease on life in that town. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam once again calls out to Allah. Oh Allah, show me who is this person. On account of his tawbah, the rain came down. You brought about a change in our town. He must be very close to you, very beloved to you right now. Point him out to me so that I may congratulate him. I may ask him to make dua for me. Look at the response, my dear brothers. We are highlighting Allah's compassion, Allah's kindness, Allah's love for us. Allah says, O Musa, when he was a sinner of 40 years, when I was withholding the rain on account of his sin, I did not expose him to you. Now that he has made Tawbah and become my beloved, how dare I expose him to you? He will remain concealed. I will not disgrace him now also. A sinner of 40 years, my dear brothers. Every command under the sun he had broken. Yet Allah still chose to conceal him. Allah chose to forgive him. That forgiveness, that mercy, that kindness, that compassion, right now is at its peak during the month of Ramadan. And these middle 10 days, as we mentioned, Allah's hand is outstretched. All it is left for us to do is put our hands out. Make that decision with Allah. My fast during the month of Ramadan is not just about giving up food and drink. But as we mentioned, just as I find that willpower and that strength within me to leave out my food and drink until the muadhin calls out the adhan, I have that capacity to leave out the disobedience of Allah, to leave out the transgression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bring about a revolution in my life. The month of Ramadan is a golden opportunity. In just over a week's time, we will enter the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, when we will be searching for Laylatul Qadr, where again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's doors of bounties, of blessings, of mercy, of opportunity, of progress are flung wide open. For the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya baghi al-khayr aqbil. A caller calls out, where is that person who is searching for goodness? Where is that person who is looking for a way out of his life of sin? Where is that person who wants to make a change? Where is that person who just cannot get going? Now is the time for you to step forward. I have facilitated it for you. I have made the way ahead. Step forward and take advantage now. وَيَا بَاغِيَ الشَّرْ أَدْبِرْ. And where is that person who still wants to continue his transgression? Now is the time for you to hold back. Now is the time where I have increased your willpower and your resolve. Make those decisions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have these beautiful moments, my dear brothers. As we can attest to, the month of Ramadan, it seems as though it began yesterday. Already we have reached the halfway mark. Before we realize, the last 10 days will come. Those 10 days will pass. The moon for Eid will be sighted. We will get back into the routine of life. The masjid which was once full will now gradually empty. The youth who occupied the sufuf of the masjid will no longer be there. The elderly who made the effort to come will no longer be there. Let it not be a repeat of the Ramadans of the past. As we are keeping the masjid full during this month, let us make that intention within, from the bottom of our hearts. Yes, we may still slip and fall. We may find it difficult. We may find the challenges as the month of Ramadan comes to an end. But the important part is that we made that intention and that deal with Allah. We took it upon ourselves, we showed the initiative. Allah will facilitate it for us. Allah will open the way ahead. The month of Ramadan is a training ground. How much of effort I will make right now, as we come to the conclusion of the month, what I will make to abandon my sins, to abandon my evil habits, and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that much of effort Allah will allow to pull me throughout the rest of the year. Allah give us the understanding, Allah give us the realization, my dear brothers. We'll end with this statement of Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of Islam. He would advise his son and say to him that, O my son, understand Allah has given you a fixed number of days in this world. You do not know when your life will end, but there is a fixed number of days, and in those days there are a fixed number of hours. He would say every hour represents an empty box. It is up to you what you fill into that box. And then he would caution his son and say, it should not be that when your eyes close and you stand before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, that you are waiting for rewards, for blessings. You are waiting for something from those boxes. When you open them, it is nothing but an empty box. Allah has given us these empty boxes till the end of the month of Ramadan, and thereafter till the conclusion of our lives, for us to make that effort to fill those boxes with that which will please us when our eyes close, that which will please us on the day of Qiyamah. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.